And we want to bring you a story now that was preempted yesterday by our coverage of the James Comey testimony. We were marking the 150th birthday of the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Over his seven-decade career, Wright developed a distinct modern American style. Some of his best-known buildings are the Guggenheim Museum in New York and Falling Water, built over a waterfall in Pennsylvania. He also designed furniture, windows, and lighting for his buildings. Joining us now is Frank Lloyd Wright scholar Catherine Smith. And Catherine Smith, can you tell us about that Frank Lloyd Wright style?
Yes, I sure can. But I just want to start out by saying that Frank Lloyd Wright didn't believe in styles. He thought that meant architecture was fashion. So what he actually did do was to create a series of principles or ideas.
And what were those principles and ideas?
Well, the principle, I would start with the first one, and this is in between 1893 and 1902. He said about to be opposing the historic European architecture from ancient Greece to the Victorian England period that was dominating architecture at the turn of the century. And he wanted to create a work and buildings that were designed to human scale, free of European ornamentation, and also an honest expression of materials.
And was there something American about it, do you think?
Absolutely. He defined it in those terms completely. He was influenced by his mentor, Louis Sullivan, who was the greatest architect of the end of the 19th century. He was based in Chicago, Illinois. And so the philosophy behind this was that the United States was a young country, and it deserved its own genuine, true, original architecture, not the architecture of ancient Greece or the Roman Empire.
Now, there are several iconic buildings from Frank Lloyd Wright, Falling Water and the Guggenheim Museum. What do you think makes those so remarkable?
Well, those are the two that are best known to the general public, and they're almost polar opposites in the sense that one is the Falling Water is sited deeply into a beautiful glen in a wooded forest area, and the Guggenheim Museum is right there on Fifth Avenue. So what he was trying to do in either case was to bring a human scale to the building, and in Falling Water you can see his attention to integrating a work of architecture with a beautiful natural landscape site.
What's your favorite Frank Lloyd Wright building?
Well, I have to say, and this is personal on my part, is my favorite is his own house and studio in Wisconsin, which is called Taliesin. And I've been able through the years to be a guest there. I think I've slept in almost every bedroom in the house. Hmm. And it's an exquisite building that's defines actually a term which is Japanese, which is called wabi-sabi. And wabi-sabi is the design philosophy of a rustic, simplistic, simple building that fits itself with nature. And Taliesin is the perfect example of that.
Do you think there's something Midwestern about Frank Lloyd Wright?
Well, I do. Yes, I do. Because it kept him from being integrated into, you know, the East Coast attitude, which is to be closer to Europe. And he was born in 1867, so he was on the edge of the frontier. That's really hard for some of us to believe.
Right.
But Wisconsin only became a state in 1848, so he was a pioneer.
So what do you think is his lasting legacy all these years later?
His lasting legacy is, of course, his built work. He designed just over 1,000, and just half of those are still standing today. But I really feel his legacy is for your audience, and they have homes, and they have a great ability now through his ideas to have your house relate to nature. And through that understanding of nature, we can perhaps address some of the major concerns of sustainability which exist in our era today.
That's Catherine Smith, who is a Frank Lloyd Wright scholar and author of a number of books. Her most recent is Wright on Exhibit, Frank Lloyd Wright's Architectural Exhibitions. Catherine Smith, thank you.
Well, just great to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, because Frank Lloyd Wright designed so many homes, there are plenty of people in this country who have lived in his art, including Kim Bixler, who grew up in a Frank Lloyd Wright house in Rochester, New York, that her parents owned from 1977 to 1994. Kim, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And describe the house for us.
Well, the house was built in 1908, so it was a prairie-style home. It was built around the same time as the Roby House, which is much more famous in Illinois, but it was very, very similar. He wanted a house that kind of fit the landscape, not fought the landscape. It also was like a craftsman-style feel to the house, and the house has 253 stained glass, art glass windows, doors, and light lenses throughout. It's just really spectacular with the lighting.
Did you realize how special it was when you were living in it?
Well, we moved in when I was 8 years old, and right from the beginning, my mom handed me a stack of note cards and said, okay, time to give your first tour. So I used to give tours to architecture students and professors and charities, community groups. So I became pretty familiar with my house. But as I became a teenager, I became very self-conscious and kind of uncomfortable with the house because I felt like people were judging me based on where I lived. And now, of course, I look back and I say, oh, that was such a treasure and such a gem to live there at that time.
Well, what kind of impression did it leave on you and other people who visited the house? I mean, you know, we all go into a lot of different houses throughout our lives, but was there something that was really different about going into your house?
Well, the house still has 17 pieces of original furniture that were designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. So when you walk into the dining room, which is truly the most spectacular room in the house, and it has all of the Frank Lloyd Wright furniture, the chairs, you can see his vision, his total vision. And I'd have a friend come over, and they would just, you know, stop and gasp. And I remember an architect, he came through the house, and he kind of swayed for a minute, and he said, to imagine the imagination of the person who imagined this room. And what the house has is that it has all these geometric shapes throughout the house. So the shapes from the windows are the same size as the shapes on the light fixtures, and then that same shape is repeated in the furniture. And so when you walk in, you're not really aware, but you know that there's just this beauty of that room. And it's really quite spectacular.
Now, lest we just talk about the good things in this house, I know that there were also some problems with it. What were they?
Oh, my gosh. Well, typical of many Frank Lloyd Wright homes, the roof was a huge problem. It leaked, and, you know, we were always being summoned out of bed, go grab the pots and pans, get every towel in the house. So, like, every flat roof, I mean, if you did not go out there and start shoveling, this is Rochester, New York, and they had these series of flat roofs that were abutting these clear story windows in the dining room, and the heat from the house as the snow was piling up would melt that snow, and we would create all these water problems, ice dams, and it was a continuous problem. So when my parents purchased the house, the roof cost as much as the house did to repair it.
Well, do you think that Frank Lloyd Wright just missed that part of it, that he or did he just not care about anything but the look and the feel?
I really think that he felt that he wanted it to look beautiful, and, you know, the homeowner would have to deal with that. And, you know, there's some famous stories, some wonderful stories that someone wrote to him and said, you know, there's water leaking on my desk, you know, from the roof. And he just wrote back and said, move your desk. you know, for us, it was just a constant, constant battle. But when we did finally repair it, my parents really tried to do it the right way. They took off 7 roofs. Each person was stacking another roof on another roof and another roof. And they went down right to the boards and then put a copper roof on it. And it maintained, it stayed that way for quite a while. But it was definitely an issue for us.
Why did your parents decide to sell the house after 17 years?
Oh, my gosh. My mom never wanted to leave. She really loved the house. She said, if I could put it on a flatbed trailer and take it with me, I would have. But it was Rochester, New York, and my parents are from California, and they were done. The repairs were constant. You know, we went through 3,000 gallons of oil every year to heat the house. We lived in basically one room of the house a lot of times and put on lots of sweaters and literally blankets. So there were definitely some downsides to that house.
If somebody out there is considering buying a Frank Lloyd Wright house, and there are a few on the market right now, what would you tell them?
Yes. You know, be prepared. You have to really love it. You know, make sure you have a pretty deep pocketbook. The people who bought the house in 2009, the current owners, when they first bought the house, they did a pressure test of the house, and it came out as a zero. So basically, you could put your hand in front of one of these art glass windows, and you could feel the breeze coming in. But they made sure that everything was tightened up and done properly. So you can do it that way. Spare no expense. The other approach is just absolutely love it and put on another sweater and, you know, get some extra buckets.
That's Kim Bixler, who is author of the book Growing Up in a Frank Lloyd Wright House, based on her own experience there in Rochester, New York. Kim, thanks so much.
Thank you.